Fortnite.
Yeah, they're big in video games.
Yeah.
What else? What else does your people enjoy?
Is that peace and quiet?
Peace and quiet.
I'll take a peace and some noise over peace and quiet.
Some peace and some noise?
Is that a piece?
Oh, there we go. Okay.
A little turn of phrase there.
Okay.
Okay, fair point here on the Harbaugh rebuttal, where I was like, I think I've softened on Harbaugh. Ted Bear on Twitter saying, dude was about to change his religion last week. Now he doesn't want Harbaugh.
That's a good point. Is another fan of flip-flops have been happening lately?
No. I'm simply saying I'm not going Catholic for John Harbaugh now. I'm not. If I go Catholic, it's because I wanted to go Catholic.
So what changed? I need to know what changed.
I think it's just time. Like, I think it was, okay, it's a big name. It's out there. And you realize he's 63. So he's probably not going to have the job for more than 5 to 7 years. He is a good coach. But also, he's only really had success in the one place. In fairness, it's because he was in 18 years. And, like, I think he's going to command a lot of power, which he's never had. So that is a new norm for him. So you're like, there's only so much you can do to get somebody to come here. If the copious amount of money and the owner that's going to give you every cent that you possibly want to succeed, if that and firing the GM isn't enough, I don't know what I got for you, bub.
I don't know. It does kind of sound like maybe now you are protecting your feelings a little bit.
Not really. I'm really okay if John Harbaugh doesn't choose here.
Well, I mean, I think we all have to come to the understanding that you're going to have to learn how to become okay with it, because it seems more likely than not that he's not going to come here.
Because I think, like, we go, like, in this current situation, I don't really need Tommy Reese back, but if it happens, that's fine in some role. Jim Schwartz back. I do. Within reason, I need Jim Schwartz back. And I've seen too many people go, well, but how many times does it happen? Well, how many times does a defensive coordinator, I think you made this point yesterday, yeah, defensive coordinator with a top five defense have their head coach get fired? So I think really the only thing you're missing from this component is the offense. And if to get the offense or to get the team success, you throw out the defense, you're setting yourself back. This defense is incredible. The one thing that Barry's done really well is equip the talent to this defense. This is a wide nine roster. Even if you go to other variations of the four-man front defensive lines, it's going to be a little bit of a change.
Yeah, and this is where it's funny. I always see people on the old internet talking about, like, oh, well, anybody would have success with Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. It's like, did you not watch Joe Woods? Like, we have proof that you can have the talent that this Browns defense had and get nowhere close to the results that Jim Schwartz got. And so, like, it's obviously very valuable now, but this is one of the concerns I have with Jim Schwartz even being named the head coach, by the way, where he stays here, but then he's not the same Jim Schwartz.
So while we talked to Albert Breer just a few moments ago, we did ask him if there's a leader in the Browns clubhouse 8 days into this search.
You look at, like, their group and what they're trying to do. I mean, clearly they're trying to think creatively here, try to make sure that they're looking under rocks that other people aren't looking under. You know, in a year where Jesse Minter has 8 requests, right? Like, every team requested. Jeff Hafley, I think, has 6. Like, there are just a lot. You know, there's a lot out there as far as, you know, like, this coach has 5, this coach has 6, this coach has 7. So you got all that. And, like, so there's going to be a lot of repetitive interviews and everything else. Like, I think the Browns have sort of taken it upon themselves to try to be creative with this. You know, you can't be as public about it, but have they been looking at college coaches? That's also something, you know, like, that for the sake of the college coaches can't be out there, but it's another rock for you to look under. So I don't think that they're at the point where they have any sort of favorite or anything like that, but I do think they're trying really, really hard to keep an open mind here, which I think their interview list shows you that they are doing that.
Love to hear they're casting a wide net. Put that college rock down. Don't look under it.
Yeah,
you don't need to. I've seen it. I've watched it up close with Matt Rhule in Carolina. College coaches, and people are going to say, Jimmy Johnson, guys, it was 40 years ago. He's the anomaly. Pete Carroll was an NFL coach, head coach twice over before he went to USC. There's a third. Jim Harbaugh was a NFL assistant before going to college at San Diego, where he became the head coach there. He was also a decade-long NFL quarterback starting in the NFL. Those are not college coaches.
Yeah, we got a lot more Matt Rhules on the list than we do anything else.
And guys, I got to tell you, the Matt Rhule thing was really bad. That's how it mostly goes, because it's the same as Steve Spurrier. These guys don't understand how to coach pros. I'm not saying there aren't guys that could do it. I'm saying it is the biggest risk you could take, more so than even going after a 30-year-old, hadn't even called play, was apparently barely involved in the Jaguars' offense
Albert
this year.
Really threw down Grant Udinski. Like, he was complimentary the way that you can be when talking about somebody, but I was even surprised at how he spoke about Grant. Because it felt like Grant Udinski was kind of gaining some steam over the past couple days as just being at least interesting, as being somebody that everyone thinks is going to get a head job at some point. He's like, no, he didn't do anything with the offense. Like, that's a very hands-on offense with Liam Cohen. Like, that's not that you're giving him way too much credit way too early.
It's weird because I'm more comfortable with Grant Udinski than I am Dan Pitcher.
That is a little odd. I think they fall in the same bucket. It's not like I can say much about Dan Pitcher. I get the same things. Everyone in Cincinnati says he should be a head coach. He's going to be a head coach. He's just 8 years older is the only difference.
So I think Pitcher is going to be the leader in the clubhouse. I have a really bad feeling that this job was rigged for a buddy of Andrew Berry. And I if it comes to fruition, it's going to be hard for me to shake that feeling. That's not what this job should be to me. But we'll see. I do want to give them time, and I want to give time to hear more about Dan Pitcher and all these other people.
You can at least
right?
build out a staff with Dan Pitcher. I think the worry with like a Udinski is that he's so young and so new to the NFL and so new to life that he wouldn't even be able to round out a staff.
Oh, I think you keep Schwartz, and I think
you definitely
probably
keep Schwartz. That's the idea with any of these young guys, these young offensive coordinator guys, whether it's Pitcher, whether it's Udinski, these guys, is that you keep Schwartz.
I think Josh McCown becomes your offensive coordinator, and then I think you probably bring in a former NFL head coach to be like a senior assistant. And it probably does fit the likes of like A.J. Gruden. I'm not saying Jay Gruden, but like A.J. Gruden, who can be there to kind of, for Grant to kind of lean on in those moments.
Yeah.
But at least in there, here's why. Grant's success has come with Sam Darnold in Minnesota and Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
He's watched two different staffs build an offense and win copious amounts of game. Whether he was the guy calling the plays or how involved he was or not, around quarterbacks who it's really hard to win with in any environment, let alone do it once, right? In the perfect environment. Dan Pitcher's been the quarterback's coach and non-play caller for Joe Burrow.
I know.
What are you learning there?
Yeah.
Hey, Shador, when you go out there, can you be like Joe Burrow?
Also, like looking at Jerry Jeudy being like, why aren't you Jamar Chase?
Yeah.
That one's tough.
Hey, you're about 4 inches shorter than T. Higgins. Could you grow a little bit for
me? Every play I call up for Jamar, he seems to get open. Why don't you get open the same way?
And so it's just, and again, I'm not saying he'd be a bad hire because you just don't know. But I think to circle back to the Mike McDaniel thing, I think this guy's a good head coach. I don't know he's a great head coach, but I'm comfortable with him and what I know he can do on offense. Pieces or no pieces. And the only unknown here is I've never seen him with a truly elite defense like Jim Schwartz has and Mike McDaniel, as opposed to what feels like you could get a year into Grant Udinski and just realize, well, hired him a year too early. Guess we got to go.
Well, and at that point, Barry might be fired by, I don't know, week 8, week 9.
Which I think is when the disaster really strikes. You can't, this next coach has to be, you have to have another 5-year coach here at the very least.
Well, I mean, it's on the table. That's what I'm trying to figure out too with Barry. Is he, you know, because if you hire somebody like a McDaniel, for instance, you know, I don't know, he might end up getting fired week 7, week 8, regardless if it starts off poorly. But you feel like the runway would be longer with someone like that. Where if it's just an abject failure from Jump Street and you went with Dan Pitcher, I mean, you and Pitcher are both packing your bags.
216-474-0092. Are the Browns going about this search the right way? More on that, more from Albert Breer, the future of the Browns, the future of Kevin Stefanski as well, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You did have him on for 2 segments last week, though. That threw me off. I'm going to be honest with you.
Because the Browns had just fired Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, but did he really add anything in that second segment?
Some have said yes. Some have said no.
I'm saying yes, yes, and oh yes.
I've said no.
A pretty strong tweet here. I actually kind of chuckled at this in the break. Adam Schefter saying, for what it's worth, in January 2007, when the Steelers made the surprising decision to hire then Vikings DC Mike Tomlin, social media was just being launched and there were no iPhones. The first iPhone came 5 months after Tomlin was hired. To really put this in perspective, I have been with my wife since September of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
In January of 2007, I was very, very heavily in the midst of flunking out of college thanks to booze. So that's how long Tomlin has been the head coach.
And hey, listen, if you'd stopped performing over the previous 9 years, you might have a different situation today as well.
Explain.
Well, Tomlin hasn't performed in the previous 9 years.
Ah, now, but me?
Well, clearly that means you're performing.
Stop it.
You
got
to be doing something right. You don't get to go 9 years without performing,
call
man.
Call me Nicky the Stallion for nothing.
That's not how this works. You don't get to go 9 years without performing.
January 2007. Do you have a vague understanding of what you were doing?
I was graduating high school that year.
Oh, that was
January of 2007.
You were at the Ponies.
Because I did high school 2007. I did college was 2011. So yeah, that adds up, right? So January was probably a pretty uneventful time. Yeah, that's when I was still gambling a lot, but not as much at that point. I was still hustling people in bowling at that point, but again, not as much.
Think about the scholarship.
At that point, the horse track, I'd gotten rid of the horse track in my life. That ended late junior year. That was like a 3-year run from like being really kind of late freshman year all the way to late junior year. I kind of got rid of it. It became kind of sad more than anything else around like my senior year. I started realizing just how sad the horse track was and the people that were living in the horse track.
Did you make money?
I was taking too much of it. Was I all time up at the horse track? Probably not.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
You're just passing time at the track.
I mean, all my buddies. That's what we would do. We would go to the horse track every day, and then we would, and then at night we'd all go to the bowling alleys, and then we would hustle people in bowling, and then it was like a wash, rinse, repeat thing. That was like I'd go to bowling right after school to begin with, and then I'd practice for a couple hours, and then I'd go to the horse track and I'd hang out there for a couple hours, and then after that I'd go to different bowling alleys and I would hustle there for a couple hours, and so that was my day to day for like 3 years.
This is where we really get to make it humiliating, Mac. January 2007. Where were you?
I was in sixth grade.
Sixth grade. Good year for you?
Yeah, pretty good year. Although, then again, that was all of the...
That's also the year Fanta got turned down for a kiss at the movie theater.
That's true.
How about
that?
No, that was the year before.
Oh, you guys are a year off?
Yeah.
Ah, too bad.
Mm. Wait, so is he a year younger than you or a year older?
He's a year older than me.
Do you remember your sixth grade teacher?
Yeah, Mrs. Turk. She's a great teacher.
I don't remember any of my teachers from like grade school.
Remember many of the assets she had as a teacher?
Nope.
No, I mean the things that you liked about her as a teacher.
Did you stumble up? Was Miss Turk the hot to trot there?
No.
Miss Turk's family might be listening.
Yeah, how dare you, Mac?
No, legitimately, one like of my me. Favorite I teachers that I
just
had, though.
I just get to say whatever I want. You can't. You don't really have that. You can't believe you'd say that about Miss Turk's family. They might be listening.
I did get in trouble, though, before because of the fact that I had been kicked out of my other class one year, and I had just been kicked out of the hallway. And as I was standing out in the hallway, I just went across the hall and I just heard talking to Mrs. Turk since her class wasn't in there. My other teacher got really upset by that.
Are we talking about Emily Turk?
No.
I'm really glad.
Oh, not the assistant principal.
Glad we shared that story on air. We needed that one.
You're welcome, right. Nick.
So I got kicked out of it and then I went to talk to her and then I got in trouble. Because I was talking. You couldn't write that one up there, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks,
Nick.
I appreciate it. That was like a Hollywood story
you shared on air. You and Ms. Turk just chopping it up in the hall.
Yeah, exactly.
And your other teacher didn't like it. Not one bit.
All because my other teacher turned down her hearing aid and thought I was talking in class. So.
And yet you're here in your life, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. I really appreciate that, buddy. I know it sounds super genuine coming from you right now.
Mm.
Well, that's going great, guys.
Yeah.
That's going great.
At least I wasn't in the booze at that point, so.
Well, I was having a great time.
I mean, geez.
Yeah. Yeah, Mac.
Boozed up in sixth grade.
Yeah, I was having more success then than you are having now, friendo.
Okay.
All right. It's a good time. Here's the thing about drinking yourself out of college. It is a lot of fun. It's the end that's the real problem. It's that once you get to the destination, no bueno.
Yeah.
But the path there, peaks and valleys to be sure. But those peaks, they were lovely.
You could do drinking and still graduate college. You could have done both.
Not the way I was drinking.
No, you could have done both. I drank a lot in college. You could have done both. My big rule was I made sure that I showed up to every class.
Yeah, that's
so I'd be as hungover as could be, all of it, but like I had to be there at class. Yeah, I had to do it.
My golden rule was there was really nothing I wouldn't blow off class for.
Okay, yeah. So like, that's where we differ.
Yeah. I was staunchly like, I'd love to do this, but somebody's got a flat tire and I'm a chivalrous man, right? Or it's Tuesday and I don't feel like it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I had nights where I hadn't even gone to sleep and we just went straight to class because it was 7:30, 8 o'clock, and that's when class was.
Hey, the new House DVD.
And so we're just like, I guess we're going to class.
And I don't know what Gregory House is up to, but I gotta find out before class. House was the jam in college. At that point. It really
was. House really was. House was on a great run.
Like, if you look back, it's House a fine a great show. Run. It is a fine show. Not the way it was. In real time, you were like, I am Greg. Everybody thought they were some level of Gregory House.
Knowing you now, I think you probably hate House. Not because he wasn't brilliant or anything like that.
It's formulaic?
No, because House is just a miserable bee.
Oh, no, that didn't bug me. I mean, like, Don Draper's a miserable bee, and I watch the House.
Yeah, but I feel like if, like, 40-year-old Nick was watching House, you'd be like, why are you that upset? You're a brilliant doctor who's got this and this and this going for you in life, and you'd probably be upset by it.
And I can't remember the chief medical doctor. She wanted it, too.
Yeah.
Whew. She was throwing about 110 miles an hour in that show as an actress.
Guys. He's such a genius, but he always had to make, like, two big mistakes first before he figured it out.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're such a genius, maybe get one right off the rip.
He had some strong theories that have proven to be true, which is everybody lies. Which, as you get older, you're just like, why'd you lie about that? Like, the amount of people that you see lie on a micro level every day, and you're like, I know you're lying about that. Why are we lying about this?
About really dumb things?
Yeah. But things that, like, in a medical context, you just shouldn't lie about. Like, I'll lie to my preacher. I am not lying to my doctor.
What are you lying to your preacher about?
Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's for him to figure out. That's his and my cat and mouse game.
Is that it? Yeah. Hey, Nick, have you got anything you want for to apologize for, or sins or anything like that? You're
No. I've been living pretty clean, doctor.
No, about as clean as it gets. But when it comes to the doctor, that's when you got. I agree with that. You got to be truthful with the doctor.
Yeah, you can lie to your priest. Eventually, you got
to
get truthful.
You can lie to a lot of people in life. Yeah. Lying to the doctor makes no sense. The doctor's there to help you.
Yeah, and. We had one of these recently. Mac, you're on the mic there. What would you like there?
The other bit of perspective as well is that our night show host, Jake Volnick, was 5 years old when Mike Tomlin was hired.
So he was watching some Paw Patrol. Was Paw Patrol a thing?
No. That's a newer one.
It's weird. What about Backyardigans back then?
It is weird. I did not have a lot of great childhood, like, molding, like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse came out after me, like all like SpongeBob came out after me, but it was like kids 2 years younger were watching some real cool stuff for young kids. I got like bad Nickelodeon. I got like Hey Dude. I got
Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold. But even like
Doug.
Like, Doug was one, and honestly,
Cat Dog
has not aged very well. I feel like the generation after
Cat Dog. It was a cat and a dog.
Yeah. No, I loved Cat Dog.
They were tied together.
Doug was great.
But Doug. You gotta understand.
I liked Hey Arnold.
That was the best we had.
We had Rugrats.
You guys then got the best of what we got, plus more. Like, I'm talking about like at like five, you got good content.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see like what just a couple years makes a difference. I noticed when just in the dating world. Like, if you're, like, 32 or 33, if just a couple years younger, you're very into SpongeBob in a way that, like, me at 36 just missed. Like,
exactly.
I just missed SpongeBob. I never watched any of it.
Sweet Life.
Never took in any of it, and now it's been around forever.
And it is funny.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do any of the Sweet Life stuff.
Because, like,
Drake and Josh, too.
Yeah, I didn't do any of them.
Which, probably for the better, given how the stories have come out about that show. Yeah, that's going to weigh on your conscience there, Mac. Hope you enjoyed those episodes.
So Josh turned out to be the problematic one, right? Or was it Drake?
I think they're both pretty problematic.
Okay, that's good to hear.
I think Josh is like the less problematic one. I don't think he's a great guy, though.
There's a lot there.
Yeah.
There's a lot for both of them.
Bit of a narcissist. And yet still not the most problematic guy on that show.
I mean, that can't, so fair. I can't punish you for being a narcissist if that's any Disney star is going to end up being a narcissist, I would imagine.
Is that the best case scenario for a?
Yeah, like that's good. Like if you're a childhood star,
you endorse narcissism a little too quickly there for me.
All that happens is you became a narcissist. I think that's in the whole bag of things you could have became. I think that's fine, especially considering either which one Drake or Josh was accused of, because that was way awful.
It was Drake. Yeah, but he had some problems.
There was a Cleveland connection for some of that. The one story.
Let's save these for our tweets. The point is, January of 2007, I can't relate to it. I really don't. I honestly do not remember what life was like before my wife. And we talk about this all the time. I know it happened. Yeah. Maybe it's going to have something to do with the alcohol. But I know it happened.
So wait, you were dropping out of college at this point?
I was still in college.
Oh, you're still in college.
I was failing out, which would happen, I believe, about May.
I was going to ask if you had like a two-year memory gap of college. It doesn't exist, but I guess you just have like your whole life before.
That's the humiliating thing, is I remember every bit of it. Like, January is right around where the friend group that I had in college, it was awesome, suddenly was like, everybody was wifed up at that point, and I was solo. And so, like, I had a situationship that got massive judgment. I got excluded from a lot of things, which I'm going to tell you did not help my drinking. And
it's because she was the group whore, Mac.
No, that's not true.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Not true.
What, you think? Act like I know it?
She was a good girl.
What was the problem?
How dare you? No, the problem was they were married people, and married people get judgy on single people. That's what it was. It is true. Yeah, don't look at Mac like he's going to, no offense.
Wait, was this your situationship they judged?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they also judged the copious amounts of drinking and the unreliability. That
sounds like, this sounds like it was independent of her, though. Yeah, I thought you made it seem like a problem that she had.
No, but I got judged because... Because
you were in college hooking up with women? I'd get new friends if that was the case.
I believe that was it.
Yeah, I'd get new friends then if that was the case.
The girlfriends, and I think everybody got married. Nope, I'm wrong about that. But they... I think there was a you should settle down thing. And I'm like, it's not your personal life. I don't know why you're telling me how to be
myself.
Who are
these married people?
I actually don't think any of them are married anymore. So that's a nice win.
Yeah, because they were very judgy, it sounds like.
It was not great. While you're in the midst of like an alcoholic crisis, the worst thing you can have.
They were in college married or no?
No. They were like on their way to being engaged or married. Everybody had been cuffed. And I was the outlier, and then so there was some judgment there. I was also not a good roommate.
They should have been rooting you on. Oh, it's a roommate situation.
It should be said I was not a good roommate. I was not a good roommate. I should be very clear about that.
You don't have to repeat it. I believe you.
But I want you to, in case they're listening, because some of them do live in Cleveland. Okay, and I want to be fair to them. It wasn't just
what made you a bad roommate?
I just wasn't good. I am a bit of a slob, and I was a bit loud and drunk, and I... can be mouthy. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Don't know if you experienced that
I
at
have.
All.
Yeah, no, okay.
So I can be a little mouthy. And, you know, when somebody crosses me, I didn't handle it well at the time. Not my friends, but their significant others. I would respond jokingly, but maybe they didn't understand that I was responding jokingly.
You know what stinks about this is I feel like you threw away your college experience and you gave it to a lot of people that didn't deserve it.
I could have used a better support system.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I feel like you could have had like a lot of my college friends. They're like lifelong friends that I have to this day. And so like even like if I had failed out of college, I'd be like, well, you know what? We had a lot of fun. Well, I loved it. It was great. These people, a bunch of them in my wedding, all these different type of things. Like that was worth it. We all stayed tight. We all stayed close. That's cool. But like these people just sound like they maybe weren't the greatest.
Nah, they're pretty great. It just wasn't a good situation.
Okay, then.
And it was a little bit of me, a little bit of them, and it's okay.
All right, then.
It happened. And then I had a lost summer of 2007. Thank God I met Vanessa. I would not be alive today. That was not good. A lot of drinking with my older brother. We reconnected. 2007 was fun, guys. 216-474-0092. Do you remember what you were doing in January of 2007 when Mike Tomlin became the head coach? I was freezing my ass off because I wasn't BG. That was not great. As bad as winters are here, BG winters are a little bit
much worse.
Yeah, because you don't have the hills to protect you. Like I lived in Cuyahoga Falls growing up, and we lived at the bottom of a hill.
Yeah,
you got some protection there.
Okay,
from the wind, the cold's going to be the cold, but the wind is the worst part. In BG, there's the joke is there's one bleeping hill. It really protects you very little.
It's a big knee knocker over there at BGSU, isn't it?
I could set it up better, but I don't care.
It brings the house down there.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they always do. It's like a...
That's the one joke and the one hill.
Well, there we go. One hill, one joke.
Together. Daryl Ryder...
Can't wait to see what he's got.
...has said that he is going to take over in case we missed it. This is either going to be spectacular or spectacularly bad. I'm not sure what to expect, but I am going to mock it one way or another. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.